We had such an awesome night at youth on Friday. Gosh, it was powerful. We're talking about hearing from God, and who knows that a big part of relationship is communication. And to have a relationship with the Lord, we need to learn to be hearing from God and listening for what He's communicating to us. And it's less about hearing His, like maybe a voice, but more about hearing and being attentive to what He's communicating, because He communicates in many different ways. And just as we were worshiping and the Lord just started to move and speak, and it was so cool because we had such a big night. It was like the room was packed, full of young people, and so many new people were there for the first time. And you know, one of my favorite things, I've shared it before, I'll share it again, one of my favorite things in ministry is seeing someone who doesn't have any grid or context for Christianity, for Holy Spirit, for God moving, and seeing them encounter God afresh. You know that us Christians that maybe have been in the church for a long time and have seen great moves of the Holy Spirit, it's not unusual for us to experience God tangibly, or maybe feel a warmth or feel the tingles or get the shakes, or to start to laugh or to start to speak in tongues, or maybe even someone to fall over in the presence of God and lay down in His presence. That's not unusual. But for someone who's a new believer for the first time, it's so special because you know they're not faking it. You know that they're not putting it on. You know they're not just following the crowd, because they actually have no idea what's happening. And it was so cool to see so many young people and people bringing their friends. And I remember praying for this one guy, and he stood there, and I said, is this, a couple of people were falling down on the altar. And I said to this new man and new guy, I said, hey bro, is this a bit weird for you? Like, just checking in. Is this a bit weird for you? Doing okay? And he goes, no, it's not weird. I'm like, oh, okay. And I was like, you know, do you feel uncomfortable at all, or is this okay? And he's like, yeah, I feel fine. I'm like, oh, cool, awesome. I was like, do you want prayer? And he goes, sure. And I said, cool, well, if you'd like, you can just open up your hands as a sign of openness to God, and I'd love to pray for you. And he goes, yep. Open up his hands like it. And put my hand on his head, and I said, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you would just fill him. And when I opened my eyes, it was on the floor. Like so quickly, just the Lord was moving. It was beautiful. And let me tell you, man, our young people are getting really hungry for the Lord. There's a great sense of hunger, not just for the idea of God, not just for Christianity, but to really know Him, like to really walk with Him and to have His presence and power moving in and through our lives on the daily, to really lead and guide us. And I encourage you, as the generation that has gone before this next generation coming through, we need your support. Like, we need your prayers, we need your faithfulness, but also we need your example. And some of you in this room have got testimonies and stories of how God has moved through your life, but we need you to share your story. We need you to be bold and continue on in the faith, to continue to open your word, to continue to be believing for miracles on Sundays and at Extreme Conference and in your everyday life, because these young people, they're getting hungry, but they need to see some examples of what they're going to walk in. And so I just encourage you this morning. God's doing something awesome, something new and something fresh, and I'm excited about it. Are you excited about it? Awesome. Is it just me, or do you feel the presence of the Lord this morning? All right, because even if you don't feel it, He's here. Sometimes I don't feel it, and He shows up and does amazing things, so praise the Lord. All right, this morning I want to share with you around the topic of becoming a modern day disciple. And when we think about a disciple, sometimes we could maybe think about, we almost get like this image of like a monk in our head, or like someone following Jesus around with robes on and with like maybe some tassels hanging around them, or maybe we imagine someone with like a bald head and very holy disciple, like someone like that, you know. And we can get this image of what we think a disciple is, but really a disciple is someone who would practice the same things that their teacher is doing. They'd practice the same practices of their mentor. They would do the same things. They'd literally do what they see their mentor doing. And I love Jesus even said that. He says, I only do what I see my Father doing. And in the same way, if we are to be disciples of Jesus, we ought to see, as we open the Word of God, see what Jesus is doing and do what He did. Amen? The disciples of Jesus lived simply by watching Jesus do something and then practicing it themselves. They'd watch Him pray, and then they'd ask Him, teacher, how do we pray? He'd teach them how to pray, and then they started praying. You know, they started praying the same way He prays. And I think we ought to be people that look at the life of Christ and get hungry to watch and observe the life of Christ and then practice the very thing that we see and hear Him doing. And I know that in society today, around culture today, and what we see in the news and in the media, there is a lot of different practices that people are doing. There are a lot of different spiritual practices, but there's also a lot of habits in our culture and society today that they didn't have in ancient days. There's a lot of busyness today. There's a lot of systems in place today where people are almost like on this treadmill chasing after the dollar. And then they die and realize they never got the amount of dollars that they really wanted. And then they've wasted all of this time in the system on this hamster wheel of life trying to chase this thing that they could never truly attain. And I believe that the Lord is revealing to His church to come back to simple principles and practices of following Jesus. I think that there is a way in which you can live in this world, but as you're in this world, you're not subject to the elementary principles of this world. It says that in Romans, that you could live in this world and not get caught up in the hamster wheel, in the rat race. That you could live in this world and still work a job and still have a family and still pay off a mortgage, and you could still live in this world, but you would not be a slave to this world because you've done something different to everyone else in the world. Instead of getting your eyes fixed on a certain prize, you've got your eyes fixed on the One who is above the prize. And your heart and your focus is satisfied, and you're not chasing satisfaction, you're living from satisfaction. That you're not running after something, but you're actually living in and abiding in the One who satisfies your every being. But that comes by living and walking in the presence of God and abiding in the presence of God. And I think a disciple is that, someone who follows the practices of their mentor and walks in their ways. And so this morning, I thought we would look at some of the practices of Jesus and talk about some of the spiritual practices of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And today, I think the practices of a modern-day disciple is for us here in this room as Christians, is to look at Jesus as the way, to look at Him as the example, to look at Him as the model in which we ought to walk in relationship with God. Jesus says, I am the way. He is the practice. He is the path to follow. Notice how Jesus says very clearly, I am the way. I am the way. He doesn't say, I am a way. Right? Jesus very clearly does not say, I am a way. And a lot of people in the world love the idea of Jesus. A lot of people profess to be Christians and they love the idea of Jesus. They love the idea of His life and His love and His sacrifice and His miracles. And they love the idea of Jesus, but they only see Him as a way and not the way. And you can never truly be a disciple of Jesus if you only see Him as a way. To be a disciple of Jesus, you have to see Him as the way. They like the idea of God, but they don't see Him as the way. You know, yoga might be a great practice for stretching out your limbs, but it won't take you into union with God. Reading philosophy might help you understand some of the issues of life, but they won't take you into union with God. Meditation and stilling your heart and your mind are practices that maybe people find beneficial, but they can't take you into union with God Because you can't truly have union with God in a way. You have to find the way. Then there is only one way. There is only one way to find salvation. There is only one way to have connection with God with nothing in between and nothing interrupting, and that's by walking through the blood of Jesus. There is only one way to find full healing for your spirit, soul, and body. There is only one way to be delivered from darkness and to walk in power and victory over darkness. There is only one way. Jesus is the way. He's not just a way. He's the way. And a disciple of Jesus should be obsessed with looking at his master's life and saying, Jesus, help me to walk and live like you. Help me to follow in your footsteps. Help me to walk in the footsteps of my King. There is only one way. Jesus is the example, not just the exception. I'll say it again. Jesus is the example, not just the exception. Because a lot of people, we can look at Jesus and think, well, Jesus was God the Son. He was God in the flesh. He walked on earth. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, he's the exception. Like, I want to be like Jesus. I want to live a life like him, but that's Jesus. I can't do that. But the way God revealed himself in human form, the way that Jesus revealed himself on the earth was he actually humbled himself in a way. He humbled his divinity and his God-like power so that he could live and demonstrate a human life. Not a God life, not a God-man life, but a human life. And he walked in a way in which we actually have the invitation to follow. Meaning that he is not the exception, he's the example. Amen? So we can't look at Jesus and think, well, that's Jesus, so I'll never be able to walk and live like that. No, no, no. The Bible clearly says, if you claim to believe in him, then you ought to walk just like he walked. There is an invitation by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to follow him as the way. So I wanted to ask you this morning and maybe get some feedback. What do you think are some of the spiritual practices of Jesus? What are some things that you see in the life of Jesus that you're like, That's an awesome spiritual practice that we have an invitation to follow in? Why don't you call some of them out? What are some spiritual practices? Sorry? Prayer. I thought you said bread and I got excited. Prayer. Yes, prayer. Bread's great too. He practiced bread, that's for sure. Prayer. What else? Compassion. Yeah, absolutely. What else? Sorry? Relationship. Yeah. Relationship with God and relationship with others. He wasn't isolated. He lived a life in community. What else? Doing the will of his Father. Yeah. Not living for his own selfish desires, but for the will of the Father. What are some other spiritual practices? Many. Pardon? Loving the little children. That's right. That's an RE teacher right there. Loving the little children. Amen. Anything else? Generosity, that's it. Radical generosity and sacrifice. Carl?
Going to the people, not bringing them to the temple.
Yeah, he would go out to the people. Spent time in the synagogue, but would also go out to reach the lost, to reach the people.
Compassion,
yep. What else? Yeah, seeing a need, feeling a need, doing something about it. There's so many things we can see in the life of Jesus. And you know, there's so much more. There's so much more we haven't mentioned. But if you look and study the life of Jesus, you'll see he practiced prayer. These are things he practiced often. He'd practice prayer. He'd practice an awareness of the presence of God and sitting with God. He practiced reading the scriptures. He practiced silence and solitude. He practiced faith and releasing faith and stepping out in faith. He practiced obedience to the Spirit, listening to the promptings of the Spirit and obeying the promptings. It's one thing to hear and feel the promptings. It's another thing to be obedient to them. He practiced fasting. No one mentioned fasting. Fasting is good, but eating is better. But fasting is very important. It is very important. And Jesus practiced it. And if we call ourselves disciples, we ought to practice and add fasting into the spiritual practices of our life. He practiced sacrifice and generosity, living in community, and as Carl said as well, living in the world. He didn't try and run off to heaven. He didn't try and say, Father, just take me off to heaven. I'm sick of these people in this world. He practiced living in the world and loving the world and demonstrating God's love to people. So we see these spiritual practices in the life of Jesus, but one of them I want to focus on today is this practice of being aware and being with the presence of God and walking with the presence and person of God. Because we can oftentimes get excited about church and coming along to church and experiencing God and worshiping God in church, but there's so much more of the presence of God than just corporate gatherings on a Sunday. The presence of God and the person of God is something that we have access to every moment of every day. And it's not led by a feeling, it's led by a faith and an awareness in Him. And we are all in this room as we grow older, whether you're a Christian or not, we are being formed. We are being formed and shaped, whether it's by our circumstances, whether it's by our family when we're younger, whether it's by our job and our bosses, whether it's by culture and society. Every single one of us are being formed. And we remember in Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. We are all going to be shaped and going to be formed. You could either experience conformation, you could experience malformation, deformation, but God has something special and unique for us in the fact that He wants us to be transformed and find transformation from the inside out, from the inside out, that we would be transformed. What into? What would we be transformed to? Children of God, that we would look like Jesus, that we'd reflect His image and His glory. We would be transformed from the inside out. And can I tell you, the greatest way you can be transformed is by being aware and walking in the Spirit, by walking in the presence of God. You know, who knows that someone outside of this church today might pick up a Bible and read it and not be transformed? Who knows you can open the Bible and not be renewed in your mind? That there are atheists and people out there that are trying to disprove the evidence of God by opening the Bible and studying it to try and find something, an error or something like that. You can read the Bible and not be transformed. It's walking in the Spirit that causes you to have transformation. It's the Holy Spirit that sets you free. It's the Holy Spirit that does a work within you and leads you into all truth, who leads you into life. Everything we need for life and godliness is in the Spirit. It's in the presence of God. And so when we open the Bible, of course we open the Bible, but we ought not to just open it and read. We ought to do it in the Spirit and become aware that while we are reading it, the Bible is so beautiful because it's the only book you get to read in the presence of the author. And so we need to, as people that are practicing the way of Jesus, get really good at becoming aware of His presence in our lives. I love that Jesus, while He was out doing things, while He was out doing the work of the ministry, He had a great awareness of the Spirit of God alongside Him and with Him. He was one with the Spirit. He had a great awareness, and He taught His disciples to do the same, to have an awareness of the Spirit and presence of God with them throughout the day. And so I want to read to you from Exodus, because it beautifully shares this story of Moses, who Moses has led the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt, and it's taking them through the wilderness. And it shows Moses' heart and desire to walk in the presence of God. It says this in verse 12, Exodus 33, verse 12. It should be there on the screens. One day Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name and I look favorably upon you. If that is true, that you look favorably upon me, let me know your ways so that I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. Our desire should be to know God, obey God, and enjoy God. I love that it says that there, to continue to enjoy your favor. Our desire is to continue to enjoy the presence of God. Verse 14, the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. I love that Pastor Rob's been preaching about this lately, that we don't just get caught up in the senses or the feelings of the presence of God, but we got to recognize that there is a person within that presence, that God is in the room, that his presence isn't just a feeling, his presence is him. Like, he is there to be found in the presence. And I love God saying this. He says, I will personally go with you. And you need to know today, Christian, that God wants to personally go with you this week. He wants to personally go with you to work. He wants to personally go with you to home. He wants to personally go out with you on the weekends. He wants to walk with you and give you rest, that everything would be fine for you. I love practicing the presence of God because all hell could break loose, but I know that his presence is in me, around me, and is guiding me, and I can find peace and rest in the midst of any storm because I know the one who sits above the storm is with me. Don't get me wrong, I feel anxiety sometimes. I feel fear sometimes too. But the moment I sense those things, that's like an indicator light on the dashboard. You know when you're driving and an indicator light pops up, an oil light, or you know something to check your oil, and these indicator lights pop up. I see fear and anxiety and maybe being nervous about the future or feeling stressed, not as my enemy, but as an indicator light to become aware of the presence of God. Because I have access to peace. You have access to peace. It's in his presence. Verse 15, then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, I love this. Oh gosh, this is good. Moses is a great man. He says this, if you don't personally go with us, I don't just want an angel. I don't just want some glory dust. I don't just want a good feeling. I don't just want a prophet. If you don't personally go with us, I will not leave this place. How will anyone know that you looked favorably upon me? On me and your people, if you don't go with us. For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all the people of the earth. What sets us apart from the people of this world? His presence. His presence. Verse 17, then the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably upon you, and I know you by name, for you are my friend. And Moses responded, then please show me your glorious presence. You know, sometimes on Sundays, I lift my hands in worship and I'll pray that prayer, Lord, show us your glory. Show us your presence. Reveal to us your glorious presence. Show people this morning that you're in this room. Lord, I pray for maybe those people that have walked in today who don't know you, God, or don't know your presence. I pray, Lord, reveal your glorious presence to them. There are different ways we can experience the presence of God. The Bible puts it in three categories. The omnipresence, which is God being everywhere, that God can be in Israel and he can be in this church and he can also be in the Catholic Church down the road. His presence can be with us. His presence is not bound to one place. It's what makes him uniquely God, is the fact that he is uniquely God is he's all-powerful, he is all-sufficient, but he's also omnipresent, that he can be in many places at once. You know, when someone dies and goes to heaven, or when someone passes away, they don't suddenly become omnipresent. Angels aren't omnipresent. They can't look at everyone at the same time. They can't be in multiple places at once. The angels are not omnipresent. It's something uniquely that is God. Satan is a fallen angel. Satan cannot be omnipresent. Satan cannot be stopping you at a traffic light and also taunting someone else overseas in prison. Like, he is not omnipresent. He does not have that power. But sometimes we give him that power because we think, oh man, Satan's been really on my case this week. But he's not omnipresent. God is omnipresent. We can access his presence anywhere at any time. The other category the Bible puts the presence of God in is his manifest presence. His manifest presence. where his presence isn't just everywhere all at once, but also sometimes he reveals himself in the room. Like he shows up, like his hand comes upon somebody, or maybe the gifts of the Spirit come upon somebody for such a time, and the presence of God is revealed upon something or someone, his manifest presence. But then there's this third category that I think is so important, and that's the personal felt presence of God. It's the personal touch. It's the personal leading and guiding and friendship with God. It's important for us. I want to close on this, so maybe the worship team can join me today. Look, I'm not married, but I've got parents that are married. I've got friends that are married. And I've learnt this. And they tell me how important date nights are for them. You know, it's very important for them to practice date nights, because date nights are time alone. It's very intentional. It's time for them to express their love and gratitude for each other and maybe do some extra things that maybe are a bit more special. And date nights are important. But how many people know that date nights are not the most important thing in a relationship? Constant communication is. Like date nights are special and important, but if you only caught up on date nights, if you only felt love and intimacy on date nights, if you only felt connection on a date night and you didn't feel connection throughout the week, who knows that date nights are really just a once-off event. The most important part about relationships is constant communication. And I think in the presence of God, we can sometimes get caught up in date nights. We can get caught up in dating God at church and having a special moment at church, but we forget about constant connection. You know, when I was a young believer, I was so obsessed with walking in the Spirit and walking in the presence of God that I'd do everything I can to try and cultivate a practice of walking in the presence of God. I would try and spend 45 minutes to an hour every morning opening the Bible. I had a routine. I'd open the Bible, I'd speak in tongues, I'd pray for people in my life, I'd worship, and I'd try and do these things to cultivate the presence of God in my life. And then I'd go out and go to work, forget about God for the rest of the day, come home tired, open my Bible and look over what I read in the morning and go to sleep. But that's like a date night. It's like 1 hour in the morning or half an hour in the morning or 10 minutes in the morning with him. And then the rest of my day, I don't have any communication. God desires communication. He desires connection throughout the day. I love this great book called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. And Brother Lawrence was a monk who lived in the 1600s, and he says this statement to other monks. He says this statement to other monks. He says, if the only time you experience the presence of God is during the liturgy, is during the 1 hour prayer time in the morning, then my friend, you are deceived. For the presence of God is all around his children. The presence of God is with his children all day long. But it's up to us to steward and practice being aware of his presence. You know, Brother Lawrence would pause. He'd work in the kitchen and he'd pause while he's washing dishes and putting dishes away and pause and just become aware of the presence of God and the love of God. And as he would do that, the presence of God would fill the room. Sometimes it wasn't felt, but most of the time it was, because a heart of gratefulness and gratitude and a heart that is tender and loving and aware. It's those little pauses throughout the day. What little pauses this week can you put in place? Maybe it's on the way to work and you hop in your car and you're driving on the way to work, you've dropped the kids off and now you're heading to work or whatever your chores are or your duties are. Maybe before you hop out of the car and go into the office, maybe you could just pause for a minute. Go, thank you, Lord, that you're with me. I thank you for your presence. You breathe in and breathe out. Become aware that he's present. You know, for me, Tony and Dad would probably laugh, because when I was younger, they always used to have a dig at me because I'd sigh a lot. And I'd, you know, they'd say, Kane, can you come and help with the dishes? how was school today? Anyone have kids that do that? They sigh a lot. There's lots of hands going up. Thank you, Jesus. Bless them, Lord. I used to sigh a lot. And you know what? I still do. And you know what? They laugh because they do it too. And I learned it from them. But I sigh a lot, and you know what? Sighing has become such a beautiful thing for me because it's really just a deep breath. It's catching your breath. And I'll be doing work on the computer, preparing something for youth or a camp or something like that in the office. And I'll feel stressed or I'll feel tired and I'll let out a big sigh. And, and it's a beautiful opportunity to pause, become aware of the presence of God. It's little indicators. What little indicators can you have this week to pause and practice the presence of God? Practice the practices of Jesus. That Jesus, before he would break the bread and multiply the fish and the loaves, before he would do the miracle, he'd just pause. Thank you, Father, for your provision. He'd break the bread, the miracles would multiply. I reckon more miracles would multiply in your life when you don't just have date nights or mornings or nights or evenings or Sundays with God, but you would practice being aware of his presence daily. That we would live like Moses and say, Lord, I don't want to go to work today if your presence doesn't come with me. Lord, I don't want to go to church this morning if your presence doesn't come with me. I don't want to preach this morning if your presence is with me. I sat in my car, I pulled up, I turned my, I don't have it a key thing, I just press the button and weird flex. I just pressed the button and I just said, Lord, I just thank you that this morning we're going to worship you, but I just thank you you've been with me all morning. I love your presence. He wants to walk with you. I encourage you, practice pausing this week and becoming aware of the person and presence of Jesus. Can we pray together today? Why don't we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are in this room. But not just in this room, Lord. You would choose not to dwell in temples made by hands of man, but you would choose to dwell in the hearts of your people. And I thank you, God, that you desire to walk with us. Lord, today we repent and change our mind and shift our desire to be a little bit more like Moses and say, Lord, we don't want to go if your presence doesn't come with us. Lord, we don't want to have those difficult conversations this week if your presence does not come with us. Lord, we ask that help us to be aware of your presence. Help us to be aware that you're walking and talking and moving and leading and guiding us each and every moment of our day. Lord, help us to be more like you, Jesus. That we would practice prayer. We'd practice silence and solitude and turning away and pausing and looking to our Heavenly Father and walking in your love and grace. And I thank you that in that place there would be transformation. In that place, Lord, there would be something revived within us, that miracles would multiply in our workplaces, in our families, and wherever we go, in our schools, as we choose to look to you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You are the way, the only way. We won't look to another way. We won't look to another practice. We won't look for another path. We will find it in you, Jesus. Can we sing this morning and just give him our love and show him and become aware of his presence, to pause, become aware of his great love.